Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning, you. You all right? Lovely cup of tea. I do hope so. I do genuinely hope you're all right. Because you're my people. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. It is now Thursday, isn't it? Let's get that right. Second guessing myself now. Thursday the 4th. Of June in the year of our Lord 2026. It's just ticked past 8 in the AM British summertime. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the all-powerful, all-knowing producer at the controls. Good, should we stop faffing about, though? Why all this fannying about? It's not necessary, is it? Let's just get straight into it. Top cop, sorry. Remember Dangerfield yesterday and me saying about how the cadence, the type of writing they use for their headlines. Top cop, sorry. Okay, all right. That's how you want to phrase it. It's like they think they're speaking to complete morons, isn't it? Like the simplest possible childlike writing. Top cop, sorry, and Prince of Pubs. That story is that the Prince of Wales is the Prince of Pubs now, apparently. He went to a pub. Or he'd said, actually, quite a weird statement. We'll get into it in a moment, but he said he grew up in pubs. Did he? He grew up on royal estates in palaces. Didn't grow up in pubs. Weird. What an odd thing to say. Okay. Top cop, sorry, and Prince of Pubs. The Express, it's a good paper. Oh, this is a story. Look, three Navy crew dead. in helicopter training crash. Yeah, it's pretty much. We don't know exactly what happened, other than it seems like the helicopter. What was it? A Merlin, one of those Merlin ones, Navy one, just training in Devon, not a million miles from where I'm sitting. Three people on board, and they all died. That's it. We don't know exactly what happened, other than that some reports were that. People heard just shortly before it crashed that, like, the rotors didn't sound right. It sounded like it was in some sort of technically in some way. Of course, it's too early to know exactly the details of it. It wasn't shot down or anything, so it was just an accident. All right, well, that's in the news a bit today, so. All right. Senior cop says sorry to family and admits arrest footage is difficult to watch. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, it is. Police chief apology for Henry Novak tragedy. Like, an apology isn't any good, is it? I've always found that odd, that for some reason in our society these days, like, apologies are supposed to mean anything. Anything. Doesn't really mean anything. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, okay, good, great, you're sorry. Well done. That doesn't help, it doesn't change anything. What's that worth? That the police chief's sorry. That it's front page news, that he's sorry. So? And it's not the head of all the police, it's just the head of the police force handling, of Southampton, the Southampton area. Was it Hampshire or something? Yeah, the Hampshire police constable said. I mean, like, when the Legacy Corporate Mainstream Media, or Hope Not Hate, or something or other, think you've done something wrong, you've transgressed in their eyes, and they demand an apology. Carol Vorderman demands an apology from the reform candidate or something. Like, it's the whole thing is performative fake nonsense, isn't it? Even if you did apologise, they don't care, that's not good enough. So what's the point of it all? This is obviously a different type of dynamic going on here, a police chief's apology after Henry Novak's killing. But still, like, what's it worth? It's all just performative and of no value. It wouldn't be to me if it was a member of my family that those cops had just let bleed out. Oh, you're sorry, are you? I don't think so, mate. There you go, look. Prince William opening a pub somewhere in London. Some little black girl comes up to him, hugs him. Snap, let's have that all over the front pages. It's not news, is it? Prince of Hugs. Mm. All right, the Daily Mail. Talk about sometimes, I don't know, the sort of the truly subversive nature of a lot of the papers. Well, it might be some sort of insert or effectively an ad, but nonetheless, they put it right at the top of the front page. Look, this Harridan, whoever it is, no idea who that is. She says, sponges, cheats and liars. Everything I've learned about men in a lifetime of dating. Oh, right. Oh, is it? Great. Fine. Good. Thanks, the Daily Mail. Yeah, just try and break up human relationships, the dynamic between men and women. Could say anything, right? They're able to put anything on their front page, any opinion. If they want to put an opinion piece thing front and centre like that, could be on anything. But no, it's some rotten old Harridan talk about how evil men are in general. Okay. How often do they have it? Why, like, wives cheating on their husbands, why it's a good idea. Women, why you shouldn't have kids, all that sort of stuff. The Mail, I keep telling you, the Mail is as subversive as any of the others, as much as the Guardian or the Metro or whatever. They just wear the skin suit of trying to throw out a little bit of red meat from time to time to make you think they're patriotic in some way. They're not. They're complete filth, utter filth. Tories call for Henry police to be investigated. Yeah, well done. Well done. Brilliant. There's the argument we'll get to it in a bit about Nigel. It was PMQs yesterday, wasn't it? And Nigel stands up and asks a question in Parliament. And then the immediate reaction to that, both in real time from Sir Keir Starling and in certain portions of the media, is that Nigel is simply exploiting the death, the murder of Henry Novak. That's all he's doing. He's exploiting it for his own political ends. And then that's evil and wrong of him. I don't buy that narrative. Or rather, perhaps there is an element of truth to it, but don't the other side do it? Right? For example, take the arson attack on those Jewish ambulances the other week. Was that not, quote unquote, exploited by them? Where a couple of Jewish people got stabbed non-fatally in Golders Green the other week. Was that not exploited by the other side, by their side? By the sort of, well, exploited all over the place. Oh, but when it's a white person, you're supposed to never ever mention it, I suppose. Otherwise you're cynically exploiting the murder of someone. What? No, I think we should be allowed to talk about it. I've had that a number of times on Twitter, two or three times. Out of the blue, there's no anniversary or anything. I've just tweeted about Lee Rigby, RIP Lee Rigby. Remember Lee Rigby, something like that. I remember Emily Jones. And most of the people were like, yeah, RIP, yeah, so terrible, so sad. And every now and again, you get some crazy, traitorous lefty commie or some Muslim or something saying, oh, don't exploit it. Don't you remember their parents asking it not to be exploited? So we're supposed to memory hole any white murder. Is that it? We're supposed to memory hole it forever. Just never, ever, ever talk about it. No. I don't think so. No, I will talk about it. I'll talk about whatever I want within reason. I'll talk about whatever I want if it doesn't break any actual laws. I'll talk about the murder of Henry Novak if I want to. Nigel should be able to. Rupert, anyone. When the Tories, though, because the Tories are deep in the blob, aren't they? They really are the uni party. When Tories call for Henry Police to be investigated, no one's particularly accusing Olukemi Badenoch of exploiting it. Just Nigel. At this point, just Nigel. Okay. Just take your people being marginalised and exploited, murdered, raped, tortured, trafficked. Just take that in silence. That's what they're effectively asking for, isn't it? Just keep your mouth shut when you experience injustices. Oh. Oh, really? That's what we... No, I don't think so. Not anymore. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not having that. No. I'll talk about Henry Novak all I like. Later, we might see a headline where the police investigation say, people need to stop speculating. No, I'll speculate. No, I'll talk about it. Thank you. Until you pass an actual law muzzling us completely, and even then, I probably wouldn't. Don't speculate about it. No. We've had the trial for the killer and the body cam footage has been released into the public domain. We'll speculate all we want. We'll talk about it all we want. Thank you. Okay, a little bit about Mandy. They moved on from Mandy quite quickly, didn't they? What was it? Tuesday was the big Mandy day. We OD'd on Mandy on Tuesday, didn't we? Mandelson News, not the drug. It's a little bit here, though. Excruciating newly leaked WhatsApps from Starmer's closest ally on Mandelson and Reeves. It's just a duplicitous backstabbing sort of bitchy gossip, isn't he? Among other things, as well as being a full-blown traitor working on behalf of a foreign entity, a foreign agent, so as being a mole inside our government for Jeffrey Epstein, and then who knows who, Ehud Barak. Been doing such a great job. Doesn't fill you with confidence, so he just... These WhatsApp messages are quite funny, stroke embarrassing. Embarrassing for them, funny for us. Okay. Mandelson's a gossipy, sort of bitchy person. Like we didn't know. Like that's a surprise. Pardon me. Got a bit of hay fever this morning, a bit of an itchy throat. I sneezed like 20 times this morning. If I start sneezing live on stream, I warned you. It's definitely going to happen one day. My eyes are a little bit itchy. Hay fever. All right. Okay, look, there's the Prince of Hugs and the Prince of Pubs. Prince of Pubs. There you go. Hugging a little black girl for a photo opportunity. Okay. Stab victim, arrest forced, pressured by a racism course. Yeah, it's all the anti-racism DEI training that they're forced to do. One in five police officers and staff feared saying wrong thing after mandatory diversity training. Yeah, they've done it all across the length and breadth of our society, haven't they? Are you out there and you've just got some sort of, basically, essentially, a relatively normal job? But they've forced mandatory diversity training on you. Yeah, I bet there's loads of you. I bet there's loads of you. And they've sat you down in the little room. They've either got some absolute cretinous socialist or a colour of person standing at the front saying, one way or another, saying, you've got to put people of colour ahead of white people. That's where your headspace needs to be. That's what you need to be thinking. To actively discriminate against white people. That's what anti-racism is. That's what diversity and inclusion is. Less white people. Less fairness for white people. It's not being colourblind, is it? Not that I think being colourblind is a good idea. So it needs to be reversed, doesn't it? We need to put our own people first. That's my feeling. The police and the army. To do mandatory diversity training for the police and the army. What an evil thing. What an evil thing. So now cops... Right, no wonder they'll turn up to a scene. Well, not no wonder, but... You can see how they might turn up to a scene. And a brown person has said racism has happened. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll give that top priority among everything that's going on in this chaotic scene. We'll give that top priority. Because they've basically been told to act like that, to be like that, to think like that. They've been told, you know, on pain of losing your job or whatever, or never ever getting promotion, all those sorts of things. Thanks, Trevor Phillips. Thanks, Baroness Lawrence. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Blair. Starmer aides, so sorry to Mandelson on day of firing. This is the story of that guy, Darren Jones, who is the chief secretary. He's an MP, isn't he? Darren Jones, MP, isn't it? And he's the chief secretary to the Prime Minister at the moment in the Cabinet Office, I believe. Anyway, on the day they had to fire Mandelson, which was like, what, September last year, wasn't it? September? If you remember, only a day or two before. So Keir Starmer had gone before Parliament and said, Mr. Mandelson still has my full support, my full backing, the full confidence of the Prime Minister. Even though the whole house of cards had begun to collapse already at that point. A day or so later, they were like, okay, we've got... there's too much pressure here. There's too much there. So we've got to fire him. So they did. And Darren Jones, when he had to tell Starmer, was so sorry. I was so sorry. Lord Mandelson was so sorry. Because he knew that still, at that point anyway, Mandelson was still, you know, one of the biggest beasts in the party. Still extremely powerful, even if he was just about to be toppled. They probably didn't know the extent of all the fallout. How long and seismic the fallout from it all would be. So he's still grovelling to Mandelson. So sorry. Sorry for what? That Mandelson lived a nefarious, crazy, traitorous life. What are you sorry for, Darren? What do you think you're apologising for? Mad. Mad. Mad, mad, mad. Pardon me. Can Mr. and Mrs. Dooleeper help save Britain? She's Albanian, isn't she? Bring that up. She's Albanian. No. Okay, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. There is William Sex Coburg Gotha pretending to be a normal person in a pub. He's eyeing up a pint there, look. You're a normal working class bloke, aren't you? You like pints, don't you? You go down a pub and drink a pint, don't you? Look, he's normal as well. He's like you. Okay. Officers pressured by diversity calls. Yeah. And have been for years. Some police at Novak murder row force. The writing. Some police at Novak murder row force say they felt controlled during race bias training. Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It's an exercise in power. That's the whole point. Yeah, it's an exercise in power. It's an exercise in non-white people putting their thumb on the head, on the forehead of white people and pushing them down. By definition, it's anti-white, isn't it? Diversity and inclusion. Anti-racism. You just mean racism against white people. That's all it is. You felt controlled, yes, because that's the nature of it. That's the whole raison d'etre of it. The whole reason for being is to make you, is to control you, to make you feel controlled. So, yeah. All right. The Guardian, ooh. 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 Gross. Look at this buffoon. What happens if you let AI run your life for a year? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Joanna Stern, don't know who that is. Some Muppet. She tried it out. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. A large language model. You're going to let a large language model. Rhetoric on Novak murder risks pushing police back to the 60s, does it? This is a statement. I read this article, or most of it. Comes from a police, like a union, effectively like a police union for black officers, just for black officers. Right. And they're moaning about Nigel Farage. Push policing back to the 60s, well, from the point of view of black people with an ethnic and racial axe to grind, a chip on their shoulder, that's shorthand for just racism. The policing of the 60s is evil and terrible and racist. So that's what that's shorthand for. Rhetoric on Novak murder, what Nigel said, risks pushing police back into old school racism times, is what they're saying. To decode that headline for you. Does it? I don't think so, actually. I think there's something profoundly wrong with policing. Profoundly wrong. Not just policing, of course, but... Oh, but a type of organisation or type of union... Association of black cops don't like what Nigel said. Or anyone mentioning anything ever. Right. Okay. I see. I understand. It's like that, is it? It's going to be like that, is it? We've been telling you, haven't we? People like us. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, the glorious band, the chosen few. You guys know. But we've been saying, haven't we, for quite a long time. Years and years and years. Not just Lotus Eaters, not just me, but loads of other people. For years, that this ends in sectarianism. If you flood a homogenous society with new people that have got allegiances, they've got their own racial, religious, tribal, sectarian allegiances, it doesn't end well. The idea of a multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multicultural society that is somehow a strength, let alone a society's greatest strength, that's a lie. That's not true. That's just not true. Okay, this woman, I don't really follow tennis all that much. Might watch the last week of Wimbledon a bit. That's about as far as it goes for me. This woman is apparently the best female tennis player in the world. And she crashed out of the French Open. She lost 10 games in a row. Not 10 matches. 10 games in a row and lost that match. And she's like rage quitting or something. She says she just wants to... Oh, she kicked a tennis ball at one of the ball boys or something. I don't know. Who cares? The news is talking about it a bit today. Sorry you were sacked, PM ally, told Mandelson. Again, that Darren Jones. His name, Darren Jones. Yeah. I'm sorry. We've got to let you go, Peter. Terribly sorry, old boy. I say, old boy, what jolly rotten luck, eh? I don't think Darren Jones speaks like, actually. It's not like Terry Thomas. Hard cheese, old boy. All right. The Independent. Look at that picture. Says a lot, doesn't it? People coming to the end of their tether. It's like, we see you. We see what you're doing. We see how you behave. What you are. I talked about this a little bit with Nate. On State of Politics, last night, on a video that might come out later today or maybe tomorrow. Let's talk about it. The nature of going to these protests and throwing bricks at cops like this. You know, there's the argument that the police are, you know, the apparatus of the state, the strong arm, the actual hand of the state. and that they're responsible and to blame in some ways for everything that's going on. Or the argument, the one I was actually saying, is that, like, for example, this individual cop, whoever this is, or that individual cop there, they weren't personally responsible for anything that went on that night when Henry Novak was killed. And right now, can't do anything about it, can't turn the clock back. Like, what's the point in throwing a brick at this dude? I mean, make your own mind up. I was saying, I'm of the mind of, you know, sometimes when a corporation, a big corporation, like your internet provider, say, something like that, they've screwed you over, they've charged you too much, they're just taking the complete mickey out of you, and it's a problem in your life. Let's just say your telephone or internet provider, and you ring them up, and you get through to some call center somewhere else in the world, in India, in Ireland, and you speak to some, like, 19-year-old kid on the end of the phone that cannot help you. Right? They can't help you. There's nothing they can do. They can't change the policy of that giant corporation. Everyone must have found themselves in that situation or something similar to that. I never start shouting at that kid on the other end of the phone. Start having a go at them. Because it's not their fault, right? It's not that individual person's fault. Be angry at the corporation. Sure, on the leaders of that corporation. Because they're responsible. They're the ones that made the policies and set it all up. And they're the ones ultimately screwing you over. The kid on the end of the phone of the call center is not their fault. I mean, they're part of the problem. They're part of that corporation. But there's no point shouting at them. It won't fix your problem, will it? I feel the same about, like, throwing a brick at a cop. Like this cop chucking a wheelie bin at him. So I understand that the police in general, it's part of a bigger apparatus, part of a bigger thing. But it doesn't help. It doesn't solve anything, does it? To lob a brick at him might hit him in the knee or something, in his ankle, and injure him. How does that? Then other people say, you know, if you don't, I don't know. There's certain things, T's and C's. I can't actually talk about everything I would like to talk about in that question, that debate, because YouTube T's and C's, because of laws we've got in this country. So people in the comments or whatever can accuse me of sort of being a coward for not going further into that debate, but I can't. Without getting the channel struck or yeeted or myself arrested, I can't talk about it much further. It's a worrying situation we find ourselves in, isn't it? No wonder some people feel like their only recourse is to do something like this. Go there and get bloodied and bloody them. I'm not condoning it, but no wonder, right? Can you not see why some people feel like they've been absolutely painted into a corner? But they've got nowhere else to go. Nothing else they could do. There's nothing they can say or do other than this. Isn't it an act of desperation, really? Isn't it? Is that not wild-eyed desperation? Like this guy. What else, you know, you can only imagine the calculation in his mind is, what else can I do? Other than what they want you to do, which is just roll over and take it silently. Just take endless injustices against you in silence. Roll over. Give in. It's a powder keg, isn't it? It's a pressure cooker. Is it not? How long can you keep the lid on that pressure cooker? How much weight are you prepared to put on the lid of that pressure cooker before it blows off anyway? Before the sides of the pressure cooker blow out? Leaders unite against Farage for exploiting teenagers' murder. Great. Nigel's the problem now. So they do it. So they do that. You dare speak up about it, you're the story now. We'll stop talking about the police and the murder itself. Anti-white racism. The culture of anti-racism, all that. We'll stop talking about that. Now it's just Farage and evil, hate-stoking right-wingers. Leaders unite against Farage. Farage is the problem. He's not, is he? Not in this case. The statement he did on, like, what was it, Monday morning? Or was it Tuesday? It was a good statement. Couldn't disagree with anything he said. You know me here. You know us here at Lotus Eaters. We're restore partisans. I'm a restore man through and through at this point. Nigel is as much my political enemy as Ed Davey or Olukemi Badenoch or Sakir Starmer. But he didn't say anything incorrect in that statement. Did he? I don't think so. Didn't say anything wrong. I would have liked him to have gone further, if anything. But no, now he's the problem. All the other leaders unite against him. He's just exploiting a teenager's murder. So that is it, isn't it? They want you to just... When something like this happens, an injustice like this, just don't say a word. You keep your mouth shut, white boy. I mean, am I exaggerating? Starmer and Badenoch, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, join Commons' anger after a former MP refuses to condemn violence linked to Henry Novak case, despite families' pleas for calm. I'm not interested... in the family's plea for calm. Yeah, I'm not really interested in that. We've had that, we've done that, haven't we? The nudge units from the Home Office get in there real quick and train the family, the bereaved, grieving family up to say some sort of anti-racist sentiment. I don't want my society and the whole trajectory of my country to be dictated to by a grieving parent who's been manipulated by Home Office nudge units. No thanks. No thanks. No, I don't think so. No, I'll make up my own mind. Thank you. So if I tweet about Lee Rigby or something, I say, oh my God, it's so gross. Don't you remember his parents saying they don't want his death exploited by right wingers? I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. Was it Kinsella when she had her brother, was it, killed in knife crime? And they trotted her out a number of times saying things like, all knives should be banned. Stuff like that. I hope I'm not mischaracterising it. Apologies if I am, but it was something like that. Like the scourge of knife crime. Not the people that wield the knives or what's in their hearts and minds. No, knives. Knives themselves are the problem. Well, I'm sorry for your loss. But I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that take. That's nonsense. Don't try and feed me that nonsense. It's very sad that you're bereaved. But perhaps you aren't best placed to have the best perspective. Especially if you've been coached and coerced by our enemies. Oh, the family's plea for calm. Not interested. Not interested in that. How long's that going to work? The cynical exploitation of a grieving family. Really? Oh, but we're the ones that are in the wrong morally for exploiting the murder. Nigel and us that talk about it, we're the ones doing the exploiting. Not the people that coach the family. Right? Okay. All right. The Daily Mirror, some of the worst slop going, some of the worst Farage derangement syndrome going on Fleet Street. They say, after Southampton riots, this shows exactly who he is. What, someone who's prepared to say what's actually going on? Wait, is that what you mean, the Mirror? Is that what you mean? What do you mean? Exactly who he is. What, someone, at least to some extent, prepared to stand up for the people of these islands? So they're saying at 12:26 p.m. Farage booed in Commons for exploiting teen's death. See the way they frame it? Not that some people, some of his political opponents frame it that way. He just is. It's not a question of whether or not he is exploiting the teen's death. He just is. According to the Mirror. He just is. Then a few hours later, at 26 minutes past three, they're timing him. They're timing him. We spot him at Swanky Club as city clears up after clashes. Yeah, he went to some... It was actually like an exclusive gentleman's club, wasn't it? But so what? So what? What's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything? That after PM queues, he went for like lunch. Probably lunch, I would have thought. Maybe a couple of drinks. What? A swanky club. It's just a members only. This shows exactly who he is. So weird. The Mirror. Can you imagine the sort of derangement in the mind of the senior editors at the Mirror? Can you imagine? It's difficult to imagine to me exactly what their thought process is and their motivations. Right, they've decided, haven't they? I imagine it's the actual owners or the most senior editor or small team of editors at the Mirror. They've decided that Nigel is evil. He's the enemy. That it's their job. They've decided it's their job that they don't want him to be Prime Minister at any cost. Of course, that's not based. They're not doing it from the right, right? They're doing it from the left. Okay, we'll restore people and them should be bedfellows. But I just find it, I can't bring myself to sort of work hand in glove with people that want to destroy Reform and Nigel from the left. They've decided he's evil and wrong. And needs to be destroyed, so they'll find anything. Anything, even the fact that he went and got lunch after PMQs. That he dared mention the sort of injustice of the Novak killing and the police response to it. This shows who he is. I mean, it's honestly mad. All right, the Metro. The Metro. Reforms Zia in two-tier health storm. They've decided to have a pop at Zia Yusuf here. Again, of course, not my guy. I very much don't want him to be my Home Secretary. Ultimately, I don't trust him to save my country from a demographic collapse. Don't trust him at all. However, he does still, even if it's red meat, does still say some base things from time to time. I give people credit when they do that, even if it is performative and red meat, because it will move the Overton window a little bit from time to time. To give Zia Yusuf, a man I don't like and don't trust, to give him some credit where it's due. He does do that, doesn't he? Okay. I said before, if Ed Davey or Ash Sarkar or Owen Jones came out and started saying base things, even if I didn't believe them, I'd still say, look at that. Fair enough, some credit at least for doing that. Okay. The Metro, ultra-lefty, ultra-left, the Metro. Perhaps more than the Guardian. They're just having a proper, you know, Reforms here in two-tier health storm. Yusuf, you wazzock. If you're foreign, you might be like, what? What's that word? Wazzock. It's just a very, very light criticism, a very, very light slur. Like you pillock. You idiot. Something like that. Something on that level. A wazzock. That's all that means, if you didn't know. You might be watching this from Romania and your English isn't 100% or something. Or you might be from America and you just never heard that before. So it's just like, Yusuf, you moron, you idiot. That's all that really means. Farage ally slammed by former Lib Dem leader for branding prostate checks for black men racist. Even though they're to black men, are twice as likely to get cancer, prostate cancer. So it's in the news a little bit that black men were going to, like, be put to the top of the list or whatever for prostate cancer checks. And a lot of people said, well, that's completely unfair. That's sort of, how is that possibly fair? And other people say, well, no, black men are statistically more likely to get it. I mean, make of that what you will. Of course, I would side with the angle that can't everyone be treated relatively equally. But, all right. See, Yusuf said something about it. And anti-white, out-group-loving, self-loathing traitors come out and just have a pop at him. Call him a wazzock. There you go. Not much of a story. All right. The Eye Paper. Banned from Russia exposing Putin's crimes. It's a slightly different story from the Eye Paper today. They go with stuff all about Russia. They got banned. Their journalists got banned from Russia and they're obviously a bit butthurt about it. I'll just quickly read the blurb. None of the other papers go with this, by the way. Perhaps a slight L, one of a rare L for the Eye Paper to not be representative of that morning's news cycle. They just go with something else about Russia. They say, the Eye Paper's correspondent, among five British nationals barred from entering Russia, Kremlin frustration with Western media is growing over coverage of Ukraine war. The Eye Paper's reporters have revealed Russian espionage and sabotage inside the UK and existence of internment camps, a massive abduction of Ukrainian children. Oh, I don't remember seeing that. Okay. Kremlin vows to blacklist more British journalists over spread of insinuations. Sorry, that's very small for my eyes. I've got to get that monocle. That's right on the limit of me being able to read. Okay, read it though. All right. So yeah, basically, in a nutshell, the Eye Paper had its journalists banned from Russia and they're a bit angry about it. The Financial Times gave me something a bit different. Have you noticed recently in the last week or so, a lot of the corporate legacy mainstream media are trying to peddle the narrative that the war in the Donbass is turning in Ukraine's favour? Okay, Vanguard ETF hits 1 trillion exchange traded funds. I dealt with ETFs a fair bit in my time. Hits 1 trillion as investors queue up for blockbuster AI listings. Yeah, it's in the news a bit, isn't it, that the big AI companies and SpaceX is going to be floated. I think SpaceX is going to be floated like next week at some point. Elon saying could be worth as much as $1.7 trillion. You know, are you interested in owning a bit of stock in SpaceX? Get ready. Get your money purses out. Get your wallet out. You might be able to buy a little bit in a week or two. Classic thing. So you big it up. But yeah, yeah. If it's your company. All right, the Daily Star. We'll whip through the last couple because they're pure slop. The Daily Star, what is this? Sir Jeff rallies England's heroes. That's Jeff Hurst there. Legend. I know you don't like football, so I'll only do a few seconds. This guy, Jeff Hurst, used to play for West Ham, actually. My team, West Ham. Who got relegated. And England. When we beat Germany in 1966, that fourth goal, we won the game 4-2. That fourth goal, the one where fans are on the pitch and they think it's all over, then a dude scores a goal, and it is now. That was Jeff Hurst scoring that goal, I believe. Is that wrong? I hope that's not wrong. I'm pretty sure that's right. Three Lions will roar. Jeff Hurst just saying England can win the World Cup. That's all it is. We'll move on. The Sun, Katie Price, pure slop. This woman, if you don't know, was some sort of glamour model like 20, 30 years ago. She had so much work done, she doesn't even look like herself anymore. A car crash of a woman. Can't stop crashing her car. Loads of marriages. Total car crash of a woman. Her husband, her newest husband, is some sort of Walter Mitty, some sort of like scam artist or something. He stole some money, fled to Dubai, then Dubai put him in prison. Dubai asking for £100,000 to let him out. And she's gone over there. I don't know whether she'll pay for it or not. He's still in prison at this moment. I need £100,000 to be freed, Katie. Jailed hubby is a huge Dubai. Fine. Pricey, Katie Price. Jordan, Katie Price. They're calling her Pricey. Pricey visits in bid to get him out. Okay, don't care. All right, that's the front pages. got a bit sloppy at the end there, didn't it? That's the star and the sun for you. That's what they are. All right, we did a poll, didn't we? This is about the time of the show we do our poll. Let's have a look at our poll. Oh, this morning, me and little Harry decided we'd do a palate cleanser one. We could ask you about Novak. Would you accept an apology from the police chief if your son had been left to bled out in handcuffs? Something like that. But we decided we just wanted to do a palate cleanser of a one. Ask you something completely different. So we did. What did we ask? What is your favourite Indiana Jones movie? There you go. Out of left field. Just something else. Something completely different. All right. Oh, one of the rare times, I think maybe it's the second time ever, where I don't agree. The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, My Band of Brothers don't agree with my take. What is your favourite Indiana Jones film? We gave you the options, the first three films. They're the only real Indiana Jones films, aren't they? We're not even going to talk about that Skull one, the other ones. The first three, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom and The Last Crusade. Raiders of the Lost Ark has won it relatively handily as well, on 58%. Temple of Doom on 15% is probably the weakest one, isn't it? Probably. And The Last Crusade on 27%. My favourite is The Last Crusade. Like, by quite a long way. But maybe it was just right at the right time in my life when I was a kid, when that came out and I was taken to the cinema, and I've got great childhood memories when I was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12. I can't remember how old I was, but I was a kid. I was taken to the cinema up London as a special treat. Giant screen. 3-4 times bigger than the normal screen in Romford. got popcorn, the whole nine yards. The Last Crusade. Oh, enthralled by it, every moment of it. Oh. So Last Crusade is my favourite. But you guys say Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Someone in the chat just said Hollywood slop. Yeah, a bit. You watch it in hindsight, don't you? Steven Spielberg grinding his axe in various ways, isn't he? Yeah. All right, let's move on. Sometimes we look at the price of oil, don't we, at this point in the show? Here we go. What have we got today? All right, so both are still under $100. West Texas at 95. Is that 95? And Brent at 97. So... You would have thought, I honestly would have thought that this war in Persia would have made it go to sort of all-time highs or something. The Straits of Hormuz closed for weeks and weeks or months. Closed. And the price of oil hovers in and around roughly, very, very roughly, $100 maybe. The average between when this war started in February and now, the average of all those prices, what would that be? $100, $105, $110 maybe at most. The average of that whole period of time, something like that. So in other words, higher, but nowhere near all-time highs. Spiked a bit and then... remarkable, really. All right, shall we just move on to... We'll just move on to... On this day in history, shall we? Because I can't... It's already 10:02 and I can't go on for an hour and a half really today. So shall we do On This Day in History? You guys like that bit, I like that bit. On this day, on the 4th of June, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Okay, in 1760, the Great Upheaval, New England planters arrive in Nova Scotia, Canada, to claim land taken from the Acadians. So that's all part of the Seven Years' War, isn't it? That's where the British Empire fought the French in Canada. Well, around the whole world. Seven Years' War was a type of world war. Some historians have described it as, you know, an early proto-world war. It was fighting the French everywhere. Well, from Canada to India, we were fighting them. Yeah, and that's after that, after we take Montreal and Quebec. Kick the French out, basically. Yeah, the Acadians are French, weren't they? The British kick them out. We'll get a load of people from New England, from what became the United States. English people, effectively. We'll bring them up from New England and put them... in Nova Scotia to sort of displace the French. The Great Upheaval. Okay. The Miracle of Dunkirk. In 1940, the British on this day complete the miracle of Dunkirk by evacuating 338,226 Allied troops from France via a flotilla of over 800 vessels, including Royal Navy destroyers, merchant marine boats, fishing boats, pleasure craft, and even lifeboats. It was a bit of a miracle, really. Well, it was a miracle that Mr. Hitler and his panzer commanders, or infantry commanders, chose not to turn the beaches of Dunkirk into a charnel house. That's really what it was. They gave us a window of time to evacuate. They'd been utterly, utterly, utterly ruthless. The photographs of the beaches of Dunkirk in early June 1940 would be very different to the ones we've got. Look, they're all queuing up in the sea to get on a boat. Okay. On this day in 1989, Eastern Europe's first partially free elections in 40 years are held in Poland. Solidarity Party comes to power. Yeah, wasn't it Poland when the Soviet project began to truly collapse in 1989? Wasn't it Poland that were first to break away? I think like Gorbachev and like Glasnost and Perestroika, Gorbachev was like, we'll let the people in certain parts of our orbit, our sphere, we'll let them have a vote whether they want to stay in the Soviet Union or not. And sort of, I think, this, if memory serves, like as soon as he allowed that, the Poles immediately just said, right, we're doing that. Yes, we vote and we live in. Like immediately. Right. They talked about, on this website, they've talked a bit about Tiananmen Square over the last few days. On this day in 1989, Tiananmen Square massacre. Chinese troops clear the square of student protesters. Unofficial figures place death toll at near 1,000. I think it's way more than that, isn't it? I think it's way more than that. But at least 1,000. Now, Tiananmen Square is a giant space. Giant space. But nonetheless, even if it was as low as 1,000, that's quite a, that would be quite a disturbing, harrowing scene of horror still, wouldn't it? Okay, and on this day in 2023, Ukrainian counteroffensive begins with increased fighting in the east and south of the country. Yeah, that was the one, I think it was either 2022, but I think it was the one in 2023, the Ukrainian summer counteroffensive. I think that was the one where I watched that, watch it play out over that summer to see if the Ukrainian quote-unquote counter-offensive would really do anything, whether it really would be, you know, sort of effective on the battlefield, whether the Russian army would indeed be pushed back in any significant way, any sort of permanent and or significant way, and it wasn't. When it became clear later in the summer that it wasn't going to do that, that was when I sort of thought, it's over strategically. It's over for Ukraine. That was your moment, really, I would have thought. Might be wrong. This war might just peter on for like 10 years and at the end of it, the Russians pull out, like at the end of Afghanistan or something. That might happen. That could happen. But at this point in history, early June 2026, I feel like that was Ukraine's big opportunity to change the course of that war, and they didn't. Well, anyway, not that I'm pro-Russian, it's just battlefield reality. It is terribly sad and unfortunate that completely innocent Ukrainian people get killed, and Russian. Sad. All right, should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen where the Rumble Rants always are shown. What have we got? Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? Let me scroll down. Yes, it's today's a good day. Global Church History in at number one. Reigning, defending, and still. All right, he gives us a couple of factoids. What's the first one? He says, today in 1411 AD, Charles VI of France granted Roquefort-sur-Soulzon a monopoly on Roquefort cheese. Well, there you go. I did not know that. Learn something new every day. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about the history of Roquefort cheese. And in 1647, oh, Cornet George Joyce took King Charles the Martyr prisoner. He called him King Charles the Martyr. Charles Stuart. Charles I. That I do know about. That is worth talking about for a moment. On Epochs, I'm going to do, it will be a few months yet, but probably towards the end of this year, maybe in autumn this year, I'm going to get up to, just naturally, get up to the Civil War times. I'm still on Henry VIII at the moment. Got a little ways to go, but probably in autumn time, I would have thought. Yes, a great moment in time when Cornet Joyce arrests the king. A great moment in time. I say great, I mean, not that I'm 100%, 1,000% love the fact that the king had to be arrested or anything. Just as a moment in time, just as sort of a scene from history. It's a great one. If you don't know, real quick to say, the first Civil War had already happened and finished, because they talk about a first and a second Civil War. The second Civil War was much more an aborted thing. Anyway, the first Civil War was over, and King Charles, Charles Stuart, Charles the Martyr, was in the hands of Parliament. He was being held under arrest at a big country house by Parliament. And in that period, Parliament and the army were vying for who has real power, who really controls policy, who's really holding all the cards. Is it those MPs in Parliament, or is it the army? And Parliament wasn't paying the army, and the army didn't like that, and the army were more radical in all sorts of ways, much more radical in various ways. And so Cornet Joyce, Cornet just means it's a rank, it's quite a low, relatively low rank, the equivalent of what, like a lieutenant or something, lieutenant, something like that. And Cornet Joyce was almost certainly probably ordered by Oliver Cromwell himself to take 500 men, go to where the king is being held under guard, parliamentary guard, by only like a few dozen, or I can't remember how many exactly, but if you take 500 men, you that's way more than you need even. Go there and get him and take him back to our military HQ, where like Sir Thomas Fairfax is. So, in other words, the king isn't in the hands of Parliament, he's in the hands of the army. Because that will give us, the army, loads more leverage in everything, more power. So Cornet Joyce was sent to go and do that, and he did. There's a great moment, so apparently he came into the king's bedchamber in the middle of the night, saying, "You're under arrest by order of the army, you now belong to us, your person is under our control, basically. And in the morning, first thing in the morning, we're taking you away." The king's like, "Oh." Like, okay, I'm a prisoner, you know, do what you're going to do, I can't do anything, right? And then in the morning, he's supposed to have asked, like, where's your commission, where's your actual orders, where's the legal reasoning for taking me under, by what power do you arrest me? And Cornet Joyce didn't have any sort of commission or legal writ or any warrant or anything. So when he's asked, by what authority do you arrest the king, he just turned around and pointed to his 500 men. And he was like, by that authority. How about that? How'd you like me now? He didn't say those words. Yeah, what's up now? How'd you like me now? Cornet Joyce didn't say that. He just pointed at his 500 men. And the king said, "Ah, I see you are a power. I see you are a power. Okay, arrest me. Fine. I'm not going to try and run away. I'm not going to try and fight you all." Great, great little moment in history anyway. Cornet Joyce arresting the king. All right. What else we got? Jeffrey Farnall says, "Have you seen that the new piece of artwork for the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square will be a giant black woman?" Oh, I haven't seen that, but of course it is. Why not? Of course it is. Because they've already done that. They've already done that a number of times. Didn't they have a black paraplegic woman statue on the fourth plinth once? Like one of those thalidomide babies where they've all four limbs are terribly deformed. A black woman with that, a giant statue of her on the fourth plinth. Yeah, why not do it again? Yeah, throw up a big black woman. What, mid twerk or something? Mid throwing a punch in a Waffle House. Why not? You go and say, it's always been a demoralisation tactic to put grotesque things in our Citadel of Heroes. Yeah. Because anyone doesn't know, perhaps you're American or whatever. In Trafalgar Square, there's Nelson's Column. And at the top of Nelson's Column is a statue of Admiral Lord Nelson, one of our greatest, arguably, perhaps, probably our greatest hero of all time. The victor of Cape St. Vincent. The victor of Copenhagen. The victor of the Nile. The victor of Trafalgar. Probably our greatest hero. And then in the corners of Trafalgar Square, there's four plinths. And on each one, we've got different national heroes. What is there? We've got Sir Henry Havelock, Sir Charles Napier. And what's the other one? I think one of them's... It's one from King George the Fourth, isn't it? I can't remember. Should know all this off the top of my head. It's definitely Havelock, Napier, and I think the Prince Regent. Anyway. And there's a fourth one, which they put various things on over time. Something else over time. Fair enough, isn't it? Every few months, or is it? Every 6 months, or once a year, or something, they put something new on there. Perhaps something even avant-garde. Well, it's the fashion now, isn't it, to put something subversive and or gross, physically unattractive or something. Yeah. Yeah. Horrible, isn't it? Yeah, a demoralisation tactic, yeah. TomRat247 says, I'm sorry, I don't think you are, mate. Yeah, yeah, I said that, didn't I? I think I said almost exactly that. Where the police say, sorry we let your son bleed out and handcuffed him on the strength of a liar. I don't think you are, mate. Yeah, quite right. Dragon Lady Chris says, can you all sue the authorities for wrongdoing in the UK? If Henry Novak happened to be in the US... you can bet his family would be getting a huge payout. I mean, I think they could. They might be able to. I don't know exactly. It depends what the Independent Police Complaints Commission people say. I think I heard that they're going to decide or have decided that the police officers didn't do anything wrong. I'm not sure about that. I think they're still investigating it all. But maybe there were some leaks. Maybe I saw some leaks. So take that with a pinch of salt. Anyway, it would depend what the investigations show. Perhaps if those investigations show that the police had definitely 100%, even by their own standards and admission, acted wrongly, badly, even criminally, then maybe the family, Henry Novak's family, could sue them in a civil case. I don't know. All right, Fallen Firebird says, I absolutely despise the proletarianisation of the monarchy. Right, royals shouldn't be screaming at sports ball games or slumming at pubs. They should be a higher example and guardian to their people. I mean, yeah, I'd probably rather it's that way. Yeah, don't try and pretend you're normal. You're not normal. You're extremely rich and insanely privileged. And not just privileged, it's beyond privilege, isn't it? It's... Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It used to be the case. I mean, when I say used to, I mean, going back to the early 20th century or the 19th century. Yeah, the royals were very, very deliberately set completely apart. Very, very rarely saw them. Even when at the advent of radio, would rarely make radio addresses. Stuff like that. I think like the king's first ever radio address was in the 1920s. Radio had been around for a while already. And people were like, oh, wow. That's the voice of the king. He sounds like a human being. He sounds like a normal man, basically. Wow. Yeah, before that, they were like this thing set apart. Okay, yeah, I mean... The Prince of Wales, Willing Saps, Coburg and Gotha, he's just a Villa fan who likes drinking pints. Is he? Yeah, I agree with you, I think, Fallen Firebird. All right. Chris R1288, is that what that is? Is that your name? There you say, yeah, but that kid is not authorised to choke you to death. I agree, the brick is weak. Do you like crackling? Crackling, is that something to do with pigs? Remember in Wayne's World? I smell bacon. Yeah, I don't get exactly what you're saying there. Yeah, but that kid, what kid, is not authorized to choke you to death. I agree the brick is weak. Do you like crackling? Oh, sorry, Chris R128. I don't get exactly what you're getting at. All right, for T and Barber. Morning, mate. All right? I'm all right. Are you all right? I hope you are. Great news about Ben Habib shutting Advance down. Oh, yeah, that happened, didn't it? Even better than Lawrence Fox and Calvin Robinson have joined Restore. It's nice to find something good in a sea of awfulness recently. Yeah, Ben Habib, I did see that yesterday. In fact, on State of Politics, we've got a video about that. It will come out today or perhaps tomorrow. Talking about Ben Habib effectively folding, not completely disbanding and utterly, utterly ending Advance UK, but just short of doing that. Basically stopping the operation. Not ending it entirely, not like formally taking it off of the electoral register, but just stopped campaigning and got no intention of putting any candidates forward anywhere indefinitely for Advance UK, or certainly for the time being, perhaps not indefinitely, but for now. As 99% sort of folding it up. Well, yeah. Well, he didn't have much other choice, did he? That shellacking they got at Galton and Denton was brutal. Poor old Nick Buckley. We've had Nick Buckley on Lotus Eaters a number of times. I've met him a number of times, chatted to him a little bit. He's a well all right dude. He's a nice guy. I agree with a lot of his takes, not every single one, but a lot of his takes. Poor dude. I can't remember how many votes he got. Was it like 60? Was it 57 or 67? He got less than like an actual comedy protest vote, didn't he? Didn't the Raving Monster Loony Party get more votes than him? So, without being needlessly cruel and mean to Advance UK, that's brutal. Yeah, people didn't like it, at least in Galton and Denton. They're not interested in Advance UK and Ben Habib. It couldn't have been more brutal, really. Like 57 or 67, whatever, however many votes it was. It was under 100. That's all. That's basically just like the friends and family voted for it. No one else. No one. That's so brutal that for my mind of a result for Advance, that it's just end it. Just give it up. It's not happening. Right? It's not happening. People don't want Ben Habib as their leader. On a national level, I'm talking about. Because Advance UK did get a lot of members, tens of thousands of members, didn't they? So on the strength of that, you might think, oh, right, we've got something here. This is a thing. We've got the ball rolling. Okay, let's see how it performs. It performed terribly. It's just the reality. See, it's probably for the best. I mean, did Ben Habib really, realistically have any other choice? He could just pretend it's still good and it's still a thing and he could be Prime Minister one day, but... Okay, so Chris has just whacked in another quick super chat to explain himself. He says, in reference to your IT example. Harry, what was my IT example? I'm sorry. I can't even remember my own. What did I say? Oh, Harry, come on. No, I'm joking. My IT example. Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I guess I see what you're saying. Is that my IT example of when I... I'm sorry, I'm just going to move on. I haven't got time, it's already 10 past. All right, sorry about that. But thanks for the couple of super chats anyway. I appreciate it. Sorry if you feel shortchanged by me fumbling around with that. Okay. Oh, the IT example of where you phone up like your internet provider and you speak to some poor kid on the other end. That, yeah, okay. Okay, Harry, can you bring up the YouTube super chats? Engage. There they are. Okay, I'll have to whip through these a little bit. I say that every morning and still give them decent time, don't I? All right, we've got a dozen or so. All right. Kat Cora says, Lee Rigby, Wayne Braunhurst, Rhiannon White, Henry Novak, and unfortunately many, many more. We should never forget them. Yeah, lest we forget. Vote Restore, millions must go! Exclamation mark. Yes. Charlene Downs. There's so many. There's so many. Yeah, no, I'm not going to forget them. I don't forget them. On Twitter from time to time, apropos of nothing, I'll just tweet about these people, these poor victims that have been sacrificed on the altar of multiculturalism. Yeah. And I don't give a fig for the commie filth, traitorous filth that get in my replies saying, oh, don't exploit it. Now, I'm going to remember them. I'm going to remember them. Okay, Luke Stewart, St. Luke, says, G'day, mate. Oh, yeah, how good. I've been thinking about something Cole said, that they've been trying to stop the rise of the Nazis, and instead they've just gone full Weimar Republic. Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad take. I mean, yeah. And he says, that's part one. Oh, part two, the very next one is Luke Stewart again says, thanks for the money, by the way. Says, feels like one of those stories where the villains heard a prophecy about someone who's going to defeat him, so he decides to try and wipe out the group only to cause the person to seek revenge. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy. The thing they're trying to prevent the most, they end up creating. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Again, down through history, when you look at actual full-blown communist revolutions and revolts, that's what they want. They just keep poking centrists, liberals, and of course the right, just keep poking them in the eye until they go mad and explode in a reaction. And then they can say, oh, right, now it's our turn to fight back. Classic, isn't it? Just like any sort of fight in the playground or outside a bar, you just goad the other person until they throw a punch and then it's on. You just spit at them. You just spit on their shoes. Something. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? All right. Anthony Paul Willis says, I was leafleting for the 2017 general election in Southampton. I and a friend got beaten up for posting propaganda. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Police refused to do anything, despite that we could narrow the attacker's address to 3 properties. Oh, it's horrible to hear. What an injustice. It's classic. The police, for years now, have behaved like that, been like that. They'll very, very, very often, even if it's assault, will just go, oh. There's loads of stories where people have got the evidence, the slam dunk evidence of someone that robbed them or assaulted them or something. They're like, oh, I've got my door cam, actual door cam showing it, or dash cam or something. Or I filmed it on my phone. And the police are like, oh. But can you investigate it and take it to the CPS? And they're like, no, we can't. This is a society breaking down when the police behave like that on a regular basis. As for any sort of normal crime, most normal crimes like burglaries, or your car stolen, or your phone stolen, nothing, absolutely nothing. You tell the police and they're like, okay, great, thanks for letting us know. We've put it in some sort of database somewhere. Here's a reference number that we've logged it under. Do you want the reference number? That's it, and that's it. Then that's case closed, end of story. Nothing, nothing else. Imagine that, your home gets burgled and that's what you get. It's like, well, what's the point in this reference number? What? I'm just supposed to walk away now with this reference number and that's the end of it. What, so I can ring you up in a few days or weeks or months and give you this reference number and you can tell me about the investigation, what's going on? No, there isn't going to be any investigation. So what's the point of this reference, this crime number you've given me? What's the point of that? There isn't one. Right, that's policing in Britain now. Right. Sorry to hear that, Anthony Paul Willis. Yeah, I can imagine the police going, oh, well, I'm afraid we haven't got the resources to knock on those 3 doors and ask a couple of questions. Sorry, end of story. Bye-bye now. Off you go. Horrible, isn't it? What an injustice. An endless number of injustices we're being subjected to over the last few years. Endless. Mr. Dickie Bingo says, the blob thinks we're extreme. What's coming is. Can't comment on that all that much because of T's and C's and the actual police. But yeah, the sentiment there is a sound one, isn't it? Whether you like it or not. Mr. Dickie Bingo's sentiment there. Remember even just the other day, earlier this week, or at the end of last week, Jacob Rees-Mogg said Restore and Rupert Lowe were too extreme. Too extreme to think of making any sort of deal or compact with them. Not that I would want one with Jacob Rees-Mogg. But yeah, Restore, basically kind of centrist positions as far as I'm concerned. Reasonable, normal. Ever so right of centre, slightly, but basically centrist positions as far as I'm concerned. That's too extreme. Wanting to put Britons first in Britain. Too extreme. Okay. Alright. There's only so long that pressure cooker can hold. Minarchist UK says, for 166 years, there was zero female senior police staff. In 25 years, we've gone from zero to one third. The resulting change is predictable and organic. Basically, too much empathy for criminals. Is that what you're getting at? Cops on the beat that just get their nose broken. They can't. Well, you're talking about senior police officers there, not beat officers. All right. Yeah. It's a concern, isn't it? Radio Friendly says, best from across the pond. Oh, thank you. We've got a Yankee over there. Thank you. Best from across the pond. Bowen team, have an album. Have an album. What a friend from my band American Pirates. Okay. Like you to sample and consider reviewing. Thanks. Okay, I mean, send it to the Lotus Eaters email or at Lotus Eaters on Twitter with a link or something. Thank you, Radio Friendly, from across the pond. Okay, Erwin Romulus, friend of the show, great guy, met him in real life. He says, twice as likely to get prostate cancer, question mark? Sure sounds like a per capita argument to me. Huh. Yeah. Oh, in this case, they understand what per capita means. Right. Yeah. Oh, now you get it. Right. Yeah. For all 231 for a decent amount of money there. Thank you for that money, sir. Very generous. Says, politicians talking about a white kid being murdered in your own country is exploitation, but a black guy who died on the other side of the world causing riots and being used for political points isn't at all. Scumbags all. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. I saw someone, I can't remember if it was in the mainstream media or someone just on Twitter, they said, Keir Starmer started talking about George Floyd and physically took the knee, made sure there was a picture taken of him in the Palace of Westminster somewhere taking the knee. Within 2 weeks of George Floyd's death, or within 14 days, 15 days, 16 days, something like that. It's been like over 170 days since the Novak killing. Just puts it in perspective, doesn't it? George Floyd's death, which was caused by a fentanyl overdose. Oh, that's what was said at the trial. Oh yeah, Derek Chauvin's trial. The doctor said, no, his heart stopped because of fentanyl. A giant fentanyl overdose. So his death, caused by a self-inflicted overdose, his death was way, way more important to Keir Starmer than Henry Novak's murder. Varug says, scumbags all. Yeah. Yeah. Absolute scumbags. Thanks for the super chat, Varug. You're quite right. Amazing disgrace. Amazing disgrace. That's quite funny. I've not seen you before. That's a funny name. At Amazing Disgrace says, If your country's laws are important enough to imprison citizens for violating them, why allow exemptions for a foreign dagger-wielding religion? Yeah, good question. Good question. That's a sound question. Yeah. That's one thing I would do in Bose, Britain. I'd found myself all-powerful Lord Protector. I'd be like, no, the law to do with concealed knives applies to Sikhs as well. Oh, you don't like it? You can go and move to a Sikh country then. You can go and move back to sort of, Kashmir or somewhere. India or Pakistan-controlled Sikh area of Kashmir or wherever it is. Wherever the land of your ancestors is. Wherever you came from. Your countries of origin. If you don't like that here, if you can't put up with that, if you must wear your ceremonial daggers, well, you need to go to a country where that's allowed because it isn't allowed here anymore. Yeah. I saw a clip on YouTube yesterday, some Arab people, it was in England, it was in Manchester, some full-blown Arabs in the Arab robes and the headscarf and the hijab, is it the hijab? The full Arab get-up. And the police had stopped them, and they had giant knives on. Obviously, they're not Sikhs. They're Arabs, they'd be Arab Muslim. But for whatever reason, their Bedouin tribe or something, was that they had massive knives on them as well. And the police are just taking the knives away from them, trying to tell them, you're not allowed that in this country. And they're like, don't really understand. Or at least pretending not to understand. Like, what? I can't have a massive dagger. It's like a massive curved dagger, like that long, that wide or whatever at the top. Like crazy thing. Now, if you insist on having those weapons, you have to go back to your own country then. And we don't want to break up families. Your whole extended family can go with you as well. We don't want to break up families. That would be wrong. That would be wrong to break up families. Okay, the last one here today. Rogue Thought One, another cool name, says, flip the script. You'd see a Britain on fire. Oh, what if it was a white guy just stabbed up a Sikh? And if it, okay, flip the script, you'd see Britain on fire. Responses heated and civilized. Even the response shows the divide. God be with you, brother. US here. Thank you. Well, thank you for the sentiment. And yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, of course. All right. That's the last one. So it's now 22 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Thursday the 4th of June, in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it really isn't a thing. My people, the glorious band, the chosen few. You're wrong about the Last Crusade, though. The correct answer to today's poll, the correct answer was the Last Crusade. I told you it was going to happen. I warned you one day we'd disagree on something. It's only bloody happened. Anyway, all right. Thanks for joining me. Without you, it really, really, really isn't a thing. What more could I ask for, really? An audience all of my own. All right. Until tomorrow, try and make the best of the day. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. Your time is the most valuable, the most important thing you will ever have. Try and use it wisely. I don't want to get too preachy. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.